So in that passage, what stood out there? What kind of digs deep into you from that? Anything sting a little bit? Anything comforting? What do you think? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's part of the conforming to the world, isn't it? Is our ideas about Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about for a little bit. Let's pray. Holy God, we ask now that the words of my mouth and all of our mouths as we share would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our rock, our foundation, and you are the Redeemer. Amen. So Jeff, in the passage just before, Jesus was a hero because he just confessed Jesus is Lord. Of course, it wasn't Peter's own flesh and blood, his brain, his gray matter that revealed that to him, but the Holy Spirit. But still, Peter was open to receiving that, and then he confessed it, and it was like, whoa, yeah, Peter. And then the classic Peter move is in this is a few days later, but it's where it picks up in Matthew's gospel. He gets rebuked for trying to be the hero again, kind of, right? It's like, oh no, we're not going to let that happen. Not you, Jesus. This is not going down, this crucify thing and whatever you're saying, being killed by scribes, Pharisees. Yeah. And he gets clobbered for it, kind of, in a way. He gets clobbered for all of our sakes, actually, when we're wanting to say things to God and put our plans and our designs on God, perhaps even sometimes conscripting God into our plans and our desires and our wishes, how things should be. Yeah, that ever happened to you? Yeah. But Jesus gives Peter a really strong brushback. And I think it's important for the larger context of this. There's just that moment where Peter's, saying, oh, no way. But there's also that whole thing of, we've got other plans for you, Jesus. We're not sure what they are, but it ain't that. And Jesus is pointing it out that, oh, well, yeah, it is. Now hush up. Don't tempt me, because that would be tempting for the Lord, wouldn't it? It's easy to misunderstand Jesus. I think we do it with regularity. I know I do. And there's always that drawing back by the renewing of your mind that is so important. Because otherwise we get out on a limb and we're pretty much on thin air. We're no longer grounded in Scripture. We're no longer grounded by the true influence of the Holy Spirit. But we're just out there using God's name in lots of different ways, and again, conscripting it for our own purposes without them being truly grounded in his word or in his spirit or in the body of the church. So can you recall a time when you misunderstood the Lord that you can think of? And is there one that you would care to share if you can recall a time that you especially misunderstood the Lord? Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Right, right.
So that's it. But
yeah.
It's hard to tell hindsight. Was that a wrong choice?
Right. Well, and that's one of those things where I think when, you know, when they replay the video in heaven, and then we'll get to see. That's not scriptural, but anyway. yeah. It, sometimes I think about that, though. Well, will we get to see the angels unseen? Will we get to see the paths that were missed, maybe a little bit? Or will we get to see the ones that was like, wow, that was right? That's hard. Hmm. Yeah, Robin.
For me, one of the things that I learned from horror experience was sometimes I don't miss it, but I think God's doing whatever it is that I'm following for this reason.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Right, yeah. So, there you go. Right. Yeah. We'll weave it in, and that's also a powerful thing of the Lord. With, I mean, God is telling this story. Absolutely, He has the meta narrative down. We know what's going to happen, sort of. We understand darkly what's going to happen. But in the meantime, we're invited in to kind of write some of the words and sometimes offer Him plot twists that maybe weren't great. But we are a part of this as well, the story that God is telling. And we have roles. We have creativity. We have imagination. We have agency. Unless you're of the automaton variety of folks, that we have some things. But, of course, we want to be in concert with the Holy Spirit. That's what goes best for us. But even when we don't, God makes interesting things out of it. So there's that, what's that famous story? Ray, you might know of it, where this little girl is gone to a piano and she's playing chopsticks, and like Andre Previn or somebody like that, a great pianist, just sits down beside her. This might have been before a concert, and she goes up on the stage and she started doing that. Sounds planned to me, like reality TV. But Andre, or whoever the famous pianist was, just kind of walks quietly beside her and sits down on the piano bench, and she stops and like, she doesn't realize that she shouldn't keep going because this is the man, you know. And he says, no, keep going. And she continues with chopsticks. And he weaves a masterful piece around it. And sometimes that's what I think both our best that we have to offer, along with the mistakes that we have as we're trusting in Him, is that He will weave what is beautiful and powerful and good and true and lovely around the bit of story that we try to tell. Yeah. That's really fun. It's this season now, which is the perpetual campaign season. We've moved somewhere in the last few years between, oh yeah, it's election season, to it's perpetually election season. I am so proud of you if you don't recognize that that's what's going on in media. It is a constant election season. And I think that our thoughts now are probably, I didn't have this written down well, how to make this transition. I just want to say that going on with the same theme about confusing or misunderstanding what the Lord is doing, it's also very easy to confuse our thoughts about worldly power and its machinations and its glory, in a sense, because there's all this aggrandizing that goes on. Only I can do this for you, and I'm going to fix everything, kind of thinking, at whatever level of government they're talking about. It's easy to confuse God's power and glory and sometimes with man's power and glory. I mean, it happens to Peter in the next passage, because you're talking about the context, Jeff. The next thing that takes place in the sequence from Matthew's account is the transfiguration, where we have this glorious moment of Jesus being glorified. We see his display of power, and I mean, it's just a marvel to behold, and there are these figures from the Old Testament that are talking with him, and everybody's like, Peter and James and John are just, Peter's just knocked out by this and says, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make tabernacles for each of you. And Jesus, yours is going to be in the middle. Yeah. As if. And so we have this, and of course, then the thundering voice from heaven says, this is my son. Listen to him. And that's when they kind of hit the dirt and they're trembling. Because they had confused God's power and glory with human power and glory. And so I guess what I'm trying to move into is that in this now perpetual cycle of election mongering and thinking about the power that what politicians or whatever leaders can have and will do for us, to confuse that and start to merge our ideas about God and his glory toward the political. And that's so natural for Christians, isn't it? I mean, because God's power and glory is what we're consumed with, in a sense. But at the same time, there's this parallel narrative of world power and glory, and we're in that world, and we hear it. And so we start to synthesize, kind of. And that's where we get into trouble. And I'm just concerned about that for us and for folks in churches around the United States over this next year. It is just going to amp up and amp up. And we can try and turn it down and turn it off, but it's going to be like, you know, blinding sunlight trying to squeak into whatever crevice it can find in us. And it's going to be very easy for us to imagine that we can somehow ferret out God's best from among this cast of characters. Are you following me at all? Any clarification I can offer? Okay. We're as Christians, we want to see God's best happen, and we're going to try and ferret it out, and we will end up making a choice as best we can. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling myself, we've got to be so careful to keep God's power and glory distinct from human power and glory. There is no merging these two. I think this is especially true now that politics is also synonymous with culture wars. And all of our political hopes on whichever side we fall on, lean on, spectrum we exist on, I think it is so easy to imagine that God... All right, let me put it this way. Would Jesus be pleased to be president of the NRA? Would he? What? See, so what is that? That starts to blow up the paradigm a little bit of thinking that we can track Jesus onto our earthly situations. Another thought? Likewise, could Jesus be the executive director of the ACLU? Would he be pleased with that role and the things going on with them? I don't see. If Jesus can't sit in these roles as in charge of these organizations, that tells us not that they're necessarily something that we should not support in this world, but that it doesn't track with the Lord because his kingdom is other. It's here, but not yet. This is a good exercise to hold within yourself, perhaps, in coming months, is to, you know, and you're going to choose to vote, and that's a responsibility that as citizens, I think we should honor. But let's be careful, I'm telling myself to be careful, not to confuse God's glory and power and plan with the expediency of the moment for our particular system of government and our particular culture and its culture wars. I am a traditional Orthodox, what I would call Bible-believing in its great tradition of the church through the centuries. I believe that the scriptures say the things that we have traditionally hold them and believe them to say about morality and everything else, that they express God's word to us. But at the same time, I'm getting more and more leery, and perhaps it's because our society has changed, secularized, and in so many ways over the last decades, but it's been going on for a long time, to try and put its value system into the voting booth. It's just hard. I'm going to make my decisions, and I'm going to do what I think is the best, but I need to be careful not to confuse that I'm voting for God. I'm voting for God's, what God would want to see happen. Now, let's go back to the story part. God has the meta-narrative. We're telling our own little stories. Sometimes it weaves in, sometimes it doesn't very well, but God will work all things to his glory. We've got to be careful not to confuse God's power and his glory and his plans with those that are going to be screaming for our attention and deserve a bit of it, not the screaming part necessarily, but our thoughtful responses to what's going to be going on in the political and social world. Any questions about that? Because I know that was a little bit muddy. I wasn't 100% sure how to spell it out. Any questions or thoughts? Or yes, pushback? Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's, yes, exactly. We're doing the same thing. We just have tokens standing in for Jesus and his power, in a sense. And we have what we want them to do. They say what they're going to do. Yeah, and that's very true that the misunderstanding of Jesus was far beyond just this moment. It bleeds into everything that we experience now, and it was totally true through the Gospels that they wanted the power to overthrow the Roman oppressors and to scourge the temple and make it a place of holiness and prayer again. And yet, that wasn't the big plan. So, again, imposing our plans on God. Perhaps reasonably moral plans that we want to impose on God. Still, not God's. Okay, I know this is ventured from preaching to meddling. And, you know, I get that, but, yes, Steph?
Well, I just...
Okay. Okay. Hmm. Yeah. Right. Right. Hmm. Amen. Right. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I've been for years now, I've been praying for Joseph, and I prayed for Donald, and I prayed for Barack. You know, I want them, for the sake of the peace of our culture, to do well and to do what's right and do what's godly. At the same time, I think it's important to be praying for those coming up. Give us some good choices, doggone it, you know? Yeah. So thank you for that, Stephanie. Yes, Frank. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's ultimately Mammon, the spirit of Mammon that directs human affairs, which we know that spirit is directly of Satan. And it doesn't mean, again, not confusing the scripture to think that money is the root of all evil, but the love of money indeed and the desire for what it can do and the power that it can wield. Definitely. Thanks. Great thing to mention, Frank. Thank you. Well, I had some more things I want to say. And this could be a continuing conversation. It probably will be because of all the noise out there, or as Stephanie put it so aptly, the garbage that's coming at us. So without having to immerse yourself in all the information of media, especially as it relates to politics, I want to encourage you to think prayerfully, though, about our politics and how we will play a role in making choices, both in the voting booth and also just in our daily lives. Some of you remember Chris Slayton, a blonde-haired guy. He's played at church and the conference center one time. Great musician, and Chris sang us a song called Every Day is Voting Day. And so that's where the good side of that, yeah, the political is all around us now, and it's a constant barrage, but every single day in your life, in your heart, in your actions, every single day is voting day. You're voting by what you choose to do, and what you choose not to do. And yes, a lot of that is unseen. It's part of the unseen, but it's still very much a part of the overall happenings of the world. Yes, your little microcosm of you is voting every day and changing things one way or another within God's grand design which will ultimately and always be sovereign. But we're having our roles. So, Yeah, try on your friends the would Jesus be happy to be president of the NRA or of the ACLU, chair of that, and see what they have to say. It'd be interesting. Because it does that is those are great questions to understand this distinction between the plans of God and the plans of man. So, all right, let's pray.